Next Step number 665, March 4th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Coming to you during the final hours of preparation for Reclaim 2021. Yeah, you know, when we started this 5 years ago, never thought that it would kind of like have a life of its own. It just like kicks in. People talking Reclaim and when is the Reclaim conference? And then all of a sudden it comes up and we're in the middle of a pandemic and we're doing a Reclaim conference. And we're in the final hours. Well, and I say final hours, we got about a day and a half. So 30 hours, give or take 10, give or take 5. I'm not counting that. There's so much to do. But I do need to break. And I need to break with my Next Step audience. You don't know how therapeutic it is to be with you. And I hope at some point, you being on the other side of the receiving end of this broadcast, that this is therapeutic or at least helpful to you as we get through even the song of the day or some of the lighthearted things or some of the heavy things. At least we're doing it together. So thank you for being with us today. I want to just first of all start off with today's news has been alarming. Yeah, I'm going to come back to next to Reclaim. I haven't left it. No, definitely. Because it's phenomenal. What's happening is phenomenal. And I do want to share with you some of the background on it and where we're at as we're getting to do the fifth annual incarnation of Reclaim. So there's a lot I want to share with you too. As you know, like the background stuff that you get to go through it with me. I'm taking you along for the ride. But let's start off with today's news. Couple big items. Of course, we heard about the earthquake down under. It was a large one for somebody like me who's lived in earthquake country all of my life, whether it's here in California or in Armenia. There's been shaking and some big shakers. But when I heard the number 8.1, I think it was, off the New Zealand coast, got to worry. Because anything at that size, 8, is huge, huge, huge. But from all reports, it seems like even the tsunamis, which are happen after these quakes, these could be horrendous too. But fortunately, it looks like everything's under control. I know we have some listeners down under, very special people to me. I hope everyone's doing well. And like I said, right now it looks like it's off the shore and everybody's, there's been no casualties reported. So thank God everyone's doing well. And I know it rolls off your tongue to say thank God, and which implies that the other side of it is what insurance companies refer to as acts of God. And, you know, this phrase always bothers me. It always bothers me that we think of these kind of natural disasters as acts of God, because it implies that God has a choice in this matter, right? It's an act of God. So God's acting or not acting, and he has a choice. And so he says, let's destroy something. And, you know, this comes back down to our idea and understanding of God. And definitely, I don't want to talk about this. I've shared with you a lot through the years about this, the entire idea of free will and the idea that we live in circumstances that where there are earthquakes, because, you know, there's tectonic plates that reach up against each other, just as because of our atmosphere. Yeah, we don't get pelted by meteors because the atmosphere slows them down and they disintegrate. But because of that, because we have an atmosphere, we have life. And so it's one or the other. Because of the atmosphere, we have life. And because we have an atmosphere, that means we have hurricanes and we have weather conditions that might not be very attractive. So it's a give and take. And it's all part of the life experience. Now, yeah, natural phenomena, right? Okay, so the second big item on today's news is not international. It's actually has to do with America. And it really, really falls right in line. I mean, there's an earthquake that happens and you could point to it as a natural phenomena, but this is completely, the next one, this next news item is completely made by people. It's a people item. Okay, so today's big story here in America is that the United States House of Representatives took a day off because there was fear of rioting of the January 6th, no, not Armenian Christmas. January 6th this year, 2021, we saw the United States Capitol being ransacked by people that were dissatisfied with the election results and claiming that it was a fraud and taken over. And we know the story, okay? So they thought that today would be a act two on that, okay? And the reason here, this is what I wanted to share with you, okay? So the reason is because up until 1930, I believe, the President of the United States was inaugurated on March 4th, today. In 1930, an amendment to the Constitution, I believe it's the 16th Amendment, but we'll check on that, okay? Changed it so that a president is inaugurated on January 20th. And hence this year, January 20th, following a presidential election, President Biden was inaugurated into office. So the people who had voted for Trump, and I'm not saying all of them, but there's a group of them that were dissatisfied with the election results, and they rioted and they had their protest, an outward protest at the Capitol on January 6th. There's a theory among them that somehow Trump was going to be inaugurated today, March 4th. So because of that, the United States House of Representatives took a day off and brought in extra policemen at the Capitol for fear of that there might be another riot and people would be expecting the miraculous Trump to reappear and take over the throne that was lost to Biden, according to their calculations. Okay. Now, here's the reason I'm bringing this up. Okay. So it turns out this morning they started interviewing these people who had this theory, this conspiracy theory that the election was stolen, despite what all the courts said. All of the courts, not one court upheld it. Yes, even the Supreme Court, which is 6-3 in the conservative direction. The Supreme Court, which has 3 Trump nominees on there, yes, nobody upheld, nobody sided with the Trump claim that this was a stolen election. So what happens is that now there's people who are thinking that today, March 4th, there's going to be a sudden appearance of Trump as the rightful heir to the throne, so to speak. But when they went and interviewed them, what happens is now they're saying that this is a setup. Now listen to this really carefully, because you're going to say, what are we doing talking about politics? It's not about politics. It's about taking these incidents and making something that's not there. It's myth building. It's hero building. And be careful what you do with all this stuff. Okay, so now they've got this story that Trump was supposed to be the president as of today. It's not going to happen. So now they're saying that this story was made up by anti-Trumpers to trap the Trumpers and find out who was responsible for the January 6th insurrection. What? Is your head turning? Mine was. I was just trying to follow the players and who's saying what and what they're doing. But think about it for a moment, right? There's a little passage in the Gospels that always gets to me. It's read on Holy Thursday. As we go through the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we end up with the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. And if you follow the narrative, there's a small story in one of the Gospels where they go up and they ask for Jesus's body and they place him in a tomb on Friday. And the story of the tomb is such that they find a brand new tomb. It belongs to Joseph of Arimathea. It's his tomb. And the leaders of the time go and ask Pilate to place soldiers in front of the tomb. Because Jesus had said, well, he's going to resurrect. Let's see, let's find it. Let's see. The next day, the one of preparation. Okay, so this is from, what is this? Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 and on. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, Jesus, said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, listen to this, otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Wow. And then Pilate, of course, sends a guard over, and then we know that the resurrection takes place, even though the guards are there. It takes place. But listen to that. Listen to what was going on at the time of Jesus and listen to what's happening right now. This cover-up, there's always this looking ahead and let's try to read into it what will happen. Let's try to suppress the truth and let's put it to one side. And if it doesn't work, we will make up another reality. This is nothing new. But that's what we had to deal with today. Basically, the House of Representatives closed. The Senate still stayed in session. And let's see, we have made it through most of the day today. And I think everything's all is quiet on the Eastern Front, let's say. And it's just tragic. It's just tragic that this is what we've come down to. And that's what we're doing during Reclaim. We are talking about these tragedies that have unfolded, especially over this past year because of the pandemic. And now we have to come to terms with it. So that's what we're doing with Reclaim. You know, what is faith today? How do you reclaim your faith in a world that's been so influenced by this COVID virus, so much so that truth gets bent, so much so that conspiracies are rampant right now. I mean, I remember, I think I shared this with you, about a friend of mine who said that the vaccine, yes, I did, because last week, just as we did the show, I had gotten my vaccination. The vaccine was Bill Gates's attempt to know what we're doing. Bill Gates, you know, and these people up in power, and there's always somebody who is manipulating. And you start understanding why this bothers me, because our entire Christian understanding is that God gives you certain gifts, gives you the ability to create your own destiny. You're not in somebody else's hands. Yes, there are political reasons, there are political regimes, there's suppression, but at the end of the day, you can move yourself forward. And that inalienable right, to borrow from the Declaration of Independence, is something that is really connected to what God gave people, humankind. He gives us the right to create our own destiny. And nowhere else do we see that more than in the story of the prodigal son. This last weekend was the week we call the prodigal son. And that story, as I've shared with you many times, to me is the one story that really stands up over and above anything else. Actually, I'll even go as far as saying is everything was lost since the time of Christ. We didn't know anything else. And let's say the libraries had burnt down, everything had been lost, and somehow the only thing that remained that came to us from the time of Jesus was this small little parable of the prodigal son. It would be enough for us to understand the relationship between God and man, for us to understand what a caring father we have and the love that he has for us. And the way I want to take you today is someplace that I hadn't tried before. It actually popped out at me this year as I was preparing my sermon for the prodigal son. And I it's a challenge for me, because these are stories that are timeless. And for every time and every moment, it seems like these talk to those times. And so it's a challenge for me when I take these. I never take them for granted. Here is a parable that Jesus has given, and it should talk to me in 2021. And I want to take you down this special road that kind of popped out at me. If you think about in our church, we talk about the sins. What are the sins? We talk about the seven deadly sins. And these are classical in all traditional churches. Sometimes a few extra sins are added here and there. But the seven deadly sins, namely anger, sloth, envy, covetousness, gluttony, lust, the seven deadly sins that we identify during our confession are the base. In other words, if you go and you say, murder is a sin. Yes, obviously, if you murder somebody, that's a sin. But really, what's at the bottom? What's the base of the murder? Was there envy? Was there anger? Was it because of some laziness? Was it because you were coveting something? There's a reason for that. And that's why it's these seven deadly sins upon which all of the evil in the world is built upon. And as I read this story of the prodigal son, and I invite you to do it, it's in Luke chapter 15. It only appears in one of the Gospels, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. I invite you to read that entire chapter. And by the way, the reading for last Sunday is the entire chapter. Unfortunately, too many churches just cut it and give you the prodigal son. And if you read it in the context that it's given, Luke chapter 15, you understand that Jesus is talking about people being lost and then being found. He's talking about repentance. And that's important. Remember, that idea of repentance is important as the base of this. Because as I'm reading The Prodigal Son this year, I'm realizing that in that story, everything that these two guys do are based on these seven deadly sins. The interaction between the two of them, the interaction with them and their father, the interaction with the young son, with the world, really, you can find all seven deadly sins right there. Okay, so it's not that he was a prodigal. In other words, it wasn't that he was wayward. That was the sin. But underlying that, he was lazy. He was envious. He coveted, he had lust, he had these things that were making him act out that sinful life, what we call the prodigal life. the older son. He had envy, jealousy. He had this anger towards his brother, towards his father. And these were being played out, these deadly sins, in the person of the older brother. And as I'm reading this, I'm going, wow, this is pretty wild. All seven deadly sins, in contrast to, as I thought to myself, am I missing something? Did Jesus have the father placed in some kind of position within this? Yes, absolutely. Against the backdrop of the seven deadly sins, the father in the story is, of course, we've made that connection, is the father eternal, but it's the antithesis to the sin. In other words, it's complete, total love. And that is a definition of what is sin. It is the opposite of love. Are you with me right now? Let's define sin then as something that keeps us away from being in the presence of God. And what is God? God is love. The opposite of love is sin. Now, what is that sin? It's anything that keeps us away from the wonder and beauty of God. Namely, anger, sloth, gluttony, lust, covetousness, the seven deadly sins. I mean, it's just beautiful how it all pans out like this. Because I want you to think, why do we call this the prodigal son? If there are the seven deadly sins expressed there, and the story itself, as Jesus outlines, is about returning home, about repenting and going back home, what about the father there? And what is the example that the father gives us? And perhaps we've done a major disservice to this beautiful, beautiful story by referring to it as the prodigal son. In other words, we have looked at it and called it the prodigal son, whereas in fact, it's a story about God's infinite love. Infinite. Take a break right now. Think about this. If you want, while you're listening to the song, go read it. And we'll be talking about it on the other half. And some more about Reclaim as well. Here's today's pick. Are you ready? How about The Prodigal Son? Yeah, song called The Prodigal Son by, oh, you'll never guess, the Rolling Stones.
Little poor boy, the stars red, started down the road, started down the road. Took all he had, started down the road. Going out in this world, well, God only knows. And that'll be the way to get along. Well, poor boy, all he had, family come in the land, family come in the land. And all he had, family come in the land. I believe I'll go and hire me to some man. And that'll be the way I'll get along. Poor man said, get a job, boy, to feed my swine. Boy, to feed my swine. So give you a job, boy, to feed my swine. Boy stood there, hung his head and cried. There's no way to get it on. Say, I believe I ride. Believe I go back home. Believe I go back home. Believe I ride. Believe I go back home. Well, down the road as far as I can go. And that'll be the way to get it on. Well, father said, see my son coming after me. Coming home to me. Father ran, fell down on his knees. Just sang and prayed, Lord have mercy on me. Mercy. The poor boy stood there, hung his head and cried. Hung his head and cried. Poor boy stood and hung his head and cried. Said, Father, will you look on me as a child? Yeah. Well, father tells his eldest son, kill the fatted calf. Call the family round. Kill that calf and call the family round. My son was lost, now he was found. But that's the way for us to get along.
Hey!
How about that? The prodigal son. Yeah, that was Mick Jagger. Of course it was. It's the Rolling Stones doing The Prodigal Son. Wow. I'm figuring that some of you did not sit there and read The Prodigal Son. And this is, well, it's not everything, but here's the story, okay? I will have a link on today's show notes to the song and to the lyrics. Do check them out. It's an interesting combination of events today. Yeah, we started off with earthquakes, talked about conspiracies, and Rolling Stones doing Prodigal Son. Wow. Doesn't get any better until you wait for the second half. And here we go into the second half of today's show. Make sure you check out the show notes, okay? Well, we are back right now talking about the prodigal son coming to us from Luke chapter 15. And as I shared with you, I said that there's really two sides to this story, that unfortunately one side of it is overshadowed by the name of the parable itself, calling it the prodigal son. You think that he's the focus, but let's shift the focus to something different, to the father. Because what we see the son's doing is everything human, and we know that side. You got it? Like the seven deadly sins. I mean, we all know that. We all have anger. We've all had feelings of envy, covetousness. The seven deadly sins we've all experienced. But when it comes to the father in the story, this is the experience that we don't have. It's the complete, total, complete, undeniable love that he has for his son. So much so that, listen to this, he lets the son go. That's right. That's equally as important in the story as everything else. Yes, the son returns, and we talk about the prodigal returning home, but equally important in this story is that you don't see the father saying, please, son, don't go. The son comes up, as all young people, you know, they know more than their parents. And if you've got young people in your family, I know you could deal with that. I know you understand that. There's a time in their lives when they know more than their parents, just as in our lives, there was a time where we knew more than our parent. And the son comes up and he says, give me what is due to me. I want my inheritance. He's not asking for anything more. He's not asking for anything outside of what is his right. But it is just blatantly given to this young guy for him to go and do what he wants with. Listen to that story. Because so often we try to take control. Wait, if we're going to give something, we want to know that we can control it. Not so with God. God has given us life. And he's saying, everything you have, everything you need is out there. Go ahead. You've been given the greatest gift there is. It's the gift of life. Go and enjoy it. Use it. Don't abuse it. Use that life that has been given to you. And we come back with all kinds of things. We come back in the state of sin. Because we've taken that gift, but It's like the horse that's unbridled, right? Just kind of like wanders all over the place, jumps over a few fences, goes off, gets into mischief and does all kinds until somebody grabs that bridle and says, hey, hold it. This is the way you need to be steered. But God doesn't do that. He's given us everything. And if you think about it for a moment, look at the young son. I mean, have you ever tried to talk to somebody who's 16, 17, 18 years old? That's not the time to fix problems. In my ministry, I know many times people come up to me, you know, come and talk to my kid, you know, because you're a priest. Supposedly, you know, things are going to change. In fact, just when was it? It was just right at New Year's. I got a call from somebody from here in California. Terrible stuff going on with his daughter. And he's calling me out of the blue. He knows that I'm a priest. And he says, would you please talk to my daughter? And I'm going, well, who is your daughter? Give me some background. Okay. And he goes on, she's on drugs and this and that. And terrible, terrible. And then I said, well, how old is your daughter? 35. Now, seriously, you think that a 35-year-old woman sitting there is going to listen to somebody says that, you know, don't do drugs? Do you think that she doesn't know that drugs are bad? I mean, there's this idea that somehow by talking, you're going to fix it instead of understanding that there's a process. And yes, there can be a process through talking, through discussion. I mean, that's what my whole life has been about. But it doesn't come by just a cold call and say, here's the phone. And he actually put the phone right up to this woman's ear. And okay, and somebody I don't know I'm talking to and saying, you know, what's going on, and trying to do all the techniques that you know have worked in a person-to-person. You're doing it over the phone. And there's a lot of disappointment as a priest, because you want to do more, but you know that this isn't the way to do it. It's confounding. And it's the same kind of thing when you look at the story of the prodigal son. Son says, give me what's due to me. Anybody who makes that statement, you already know that, okay, you've done everything you can. Now, the son does return home. Why? Why? Because he's got that foundation. He knows that, yes, from the home, he's got love. He's got something to turn back to. And the bigger reason, of course, is because he has no other choice, right? He reaches his enough moment. He says, enough is enough. I can't make ends meet. I'm looking at the slop that they're feeding the pigs, and that looks appetizing to me. Am I stupid or what? My father has servants who live better than I do. What am I doing out on the streets, looking at what the pigs are eating? Let me go home. It's his enough moment. It's his moment where it's life slaps you in the face. And all of us, if we're lucky, get that moment where life slaps us in the face. We say, hey, you better get back on track. And getting back on track is that repentance, is that moment of repentance. But again, instead of talking about the prodigal today, let's talk about the father. Because when that son turns around and goes towards the father, listen to what the scripture says, or what Jesus is saying in the story. He emphasizes that as the son was turning back, the father sees him on the road. Interesting. And he goes running out to take him in. In other words, the father didn't wait for the kid to get back home. The father looks at the intention. The kid's walking back home. Well, no duh. What else do you think he's going to be doing? But he's your son. He's the one that you love. What are you going to do? Throw him in with the servants? No. He says, bring out the beautiful clothes. Bring the ring. Put it on his finger. Give him full authority. He's my son. He was dead and now he's living. He was lost and now he's found. Think about it for a moment. What else would he have done? Of course he's going to do that. And that's the beauty of this story. that when the boy comes back home, the father takes him in unconditionally. And the minute I say that word, that should trigger all kinds of things in our head, namely that we're talking about the divine presence. We're talking about that father in the story being the metaphor for God, our Father in heaven, who takes us back without even waiting for us to come and say, oh, please do this and that, bang our head against the wall. No, it's already been paid for. All you need to do is come back. Because in the end, we all know what we're doing. We all know the evil that we're doing. And that's, in our confession, we say that. And yet, knowing the evil, yet I willingly gave way to it, and from good works I purposely kept away. That's the wording. I believe it's Krikor Datevatsi who wrote that confession that we use. I'm not sure. But the wording is there. And yeah, we know what's wrong. And you go talk to the thing. Sadly, a couple of years ago, I remember I was dealing with this kid who was messed up on drugs. And sadly, several months later, he passed away. And I remember talking with him. They're not stupid. In the sense that, okay, yeah, you can argue, you could say, yeah, he's stupid if he's taking drugs. No, they've been hooked. There's a physical dependence on these chemicals. But they're not stupid. They know that it's wrong. They know it's wrong, and they're struggling against it. They're struggling to get out of it. And that's, for me, really the hardest part, is when you look at drug addiction, you realize that there's this physical dependence on something. Right now, so far, we're talking about the emotional dependence, the dependence that we have on others to give us happiness. That's what these two sons were doing. They were waiting for others to give them happiness. And when they come back home, both of them, even the older son who is in the barn, he realizes, he comes to terms with this, with what the father said, that the father takes him in, and the father says it to the older son too. You have always been with me. I'm not going to throw you out now. You are always, everything I have is yours. And this is a promise made to us by God. We're his. All we need to do is have that intention to come home. Sincere intention, because it takes that one turn. The boy was turned around and he's coming home. He's got this in his head. I'm going back home. I can't live like this. I've had my enough moment. I can't continue like this. I need to stop and reconcile myself with my father. And really, it's one of the most beautiful stories that comes to us, especially during the Lenten season, when we're trying to find ourselves and find what's wrong, what's ticking, why aren't things falling into place? And there we have it, the story of the prodigal son. It is the story to put us in line with God. And so I challenged the people Sunday too when I gave this sermon, don't end it with just listening to the sermon. You know, take some time, especially during this Lenten season, to really read that story and put yourself in the shoes of the characters, whether it's the young son or the older son. How do you feel? And then put your feet in the shoes of the father. Are you able to give? Because that's what it comes down to, you know. And it's beautiful because this is in the second or third week of Lent that we're talking about this. And, you know, it's a process. It's a process by the time we get to Palm Sunday and then to Easter. How we develop. And so this is one more step as we get closer. So take in what you can right now. Take in what makes sense to you. See what it feels like to walk in these different shoes. Whether it's the father, whether it's the sons, the older, the younger son, you're going to be getting some new insight by reading the story and understanding yourself within it. the timelessness of the story. Now, that being said, we're coming up against the Reclaim Conference, which I shared briefly with you. But there's so many things that we're trying to put into order. But I wanted to share this with you because it falls in the same line as the metaphor with the Father. You know, a lot of times when we talk about church, there's this idea which personally I find offensive. And I always have since I was a young kid. And I think I'm going to use this in my speech too. The idea that somehow youth are the future of the church. I don't like that because it discounts youth from the church today. If you are the future, it means you're not here today. You're not the today. And I'm saying this because the other night I was putting together the final panelists and everything, and I'm looking around me. And first of all, it's great because I'm the oldest, of course, but I'm oldest by several decades. Everybody on the panel was between, you know, 25 and 35. And it's a beautiful phenomenon. In fact, I think there was a couple younger too. It's beautiful in a couple sense because the panelists are talking about faith issues. And they're talking within the confines of reclaim. In other words, reclaiming our faith in this pandemic situation. What does that mean? How do I reclaim it? What is it? What steps do I need to go through? And imagine, it's young people talking inside of the Armenian church. And I'm saying this because we get the criticism as the church. What are you doing for young youth? The problem is the people who criticize don't live inside the church. Have you ever noticed that? There's so many people who criticize, but they're not in the church. And I see that all the time, you know. There's this columnist that that writes in tabloid, Armenian tabloid. Yes, believe it or not, Armenians have tabloids. And they're concerned about, you know, the conspiracies. Yes. Oh, we started with conspiracies. Here we are. Yes, there's Armenian conspiracies too. Like, what are they saying? What are they doing? And what's going on? This is not to say that everybody should be trusted, but this is to say not everybody should not be trusted. You know, you can't, it's a horrible way to live. There's that that Pharisee who's on radio, I forgot his name. He talks like that too. You know, people are not good. He starts with the premise that people are evil. Well, if you're going to start with that premise, you've kind of like lost. Why not start with the premise that God is good and God has created life and therefore it is good? Yeah? What's wrong with that? Well, you know what's wrong with that? It's a Christian view. Yes. It's uniquely Christian. Not everybody wants to admit that. And they will put it aside. They will take the Christian view and put it aside. Christ told us that God makes it rain on the good and the bad. He makes his sunshine on the good and the bad. So if he does that, he's not a judgmental one. He's making it beautiful for everybody. So look at life as this beautiful opportunity to experience, to express yourself. And so here we are, Reclaim 2021, in the middle of a pandemic, and the people who are going to be expressing themselves this year in these panels, something like 18 or 20 of them in the panels, are all between the ages of 23, 24, and 35. I think 35 is even on the high end. And it's beautiful because you're now going to be hearing a different story. You're going to be hearing a different discussion coming out. So I'm very, very excited. I'm very encouraged. I'm very thankful to our bishop who gives me this chance to really put together this Reclaim. We are now in the fifth incarnation of Reclaim. We started this in 2017. Calling it Reclaim, Embracing Your Faith in a Changing World. And at that time, this was something very novel, and we put together like 25 different speakers. And the complaint was, well, I can't get to all of them. That's right. You know, it's like a university. It's like a mature thing. It's not a freebie. Come and enjoy, but also be disciplined enough to throw yourself around and see, these are the things that I want to center my faith around. The second year, we talked about creativity, that creativity was given to us by God. The third year, we talked about Gomidas. Gomidas, not just this this folk hero, not just somebody who just comes up, but he was a priest of the Armenian church who celebrated the divine liturgy, the Surp Badarak. He's a priest of the church. Last year, 2020, we were doing Reclaim Etchmiadzin as the Christ Center of the Church, something which His Holiness of Blessed Memory Kadek in the first talked about. He spoke about Etchmiadzin, his mission, and think of it as Etchmiadzin literally meaning the only begotten has descended. That is a mission. And unfortunately, we had to cancel Reclaim literally a week before we started. And so here we are, the fifth incarnation of Reclaim. We've spent 1 year exactly in a pandemic, and here we are talking to the people. What have we learned? What have we not learned? What is there to learn? What's coming out of this pandemic in terms of faith? Is it all about vaccines, or is it something more? That's what we're going to be looking at. That's this Saturday. And listen, I'm telling you, Next Steppers, you were the first people that I invited to this. I'm hoping that you'll be there. And yes, people have asked me. I know we have a problem with time zones and everything. You can, we will be recording it, and you will find it on YouTube, but it'll probably be a few weeks before we get everything together and put it there. But if you can, please try to join us. It's going to be Saturday, March 6th, this Saturday, from 9 a.m. to about 4 p.m. That's Pacific time, okay? So you got to do the math. You got to figure it out. What is it? It used to be Greenwich Mean. Now it's Universal Coordinated Time plus 8. Or you can take the easy way out. Alexa, what time is it in Los Angeles? I'm sorry.
In Los Angeles, it's 6:30 p.m.
Did I trigger off a lot of, I won't say the word again. Did I trigger off your devices around you too? Anyway, ask her and she will tell you. Or else just look it up. What are we? It's Los Angeles time, okay? And that's this Saturday, 9 o'clock, Los Angeles time. And I hope I'll see you there. All right, that does it for today's show. Let's listen to Susie make her announcement, and I'll tell you where I'm going to be this Sunday for Holy Divine Liturgy, and I hope you'll join me. Here's Susie.
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for the announcement. And thank you, all of you, all of you. I love you all. Thank you so much for the beautiful support, your prayers, just being with me on this journey, and especially during the Lenten season. It's a very special time for all of us. And I know I love receiving messages from you. They mean a lot to me. Let me share with you the Lenten journey. I will have a link on today's show notes. We are on day 18 today. I do it once a day. It's a little bit different this year. I'm doing more kind of like Zen-esque Lenten journeys, just kind of like throwing out an idea for meditation. Of course, we have the Lenten journeys from past years. They're all archived together on the link that you find on today's show notes. We'll have a link to everything we talked about, including Reclaim. If by chance you have not made a reservation, there's still time. Just press on that link, make a reservation, and you are set to go. And I hope we'll see you Saturday. Also, I'll be putting up a few other links to some more information about what Reclaim is about and why it's important to get involved with it. This Sunday, I'm going to be at the St. Gregory Armenian Church in Pasadena. Please pray for the parish priest there. He's not feeling too good. Let's say it that way. He was victimized by the COVID-19 virus. He is in the process of recovery, and it looks like I'm going to be there for the next several Sundays. So that's St. Gregory, and I will have a link on today's show notes so you can join us on the stream that takes place. Okay, that wraps it up for today's show, and we're off to finish up working on Reclaim. That's what we're going to be doing the rest of the night. Got a pot of coffee going and a lot of stuff to still put together. I want to thank you for joining us. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us at Reclaim in church with your mask on, or of course, next week as we take the next.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath cut out.